Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning again. We're glad you're here today. God is so good. He's doing great things in us, through us, and among us. And we're just so glad after all the things that we've been through, God is still God and He is still good. Most of you know that we lost our beloved Pastor Gil, and we've grieving but with hope, and God has brought us through. And Debbie, we are still praying for you and Matt and everyone. He is faithful in every season of life. You know, I'm just sitting here, you know me, I'm just so OCD. I'm sitting here thinking, because there's a whole group over here and there's a few over. You guys got to get some people, you know, in that section over there. Section A, Section B, whatever it is. But we're so thankful. Today, our message is one that is necessary. It's the authority of the believer. And the word authority actually means the ability, the power to make decisions, to give orders, to order a situation correctly. And God has given us authority, and I believe if we recognize the authority we have in Christ Jesus through the cross, we would live a different life. We would be more evangelistic. We would be more willing to reach out. And, you know, sometimes we don't know who we are and what we have, the power we have and the authority we have. And I will never forget, and I will say this until the day I go home to be with Christ, the best thing that ever happened to me other than salvation was receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit right over there by that pole. Some of you even remember that day. Gil Howard Brown had prayed for me, and I went home and told my father, nothing happened, okay? Nothing happened. And the next day, I was in an Aldi store, and my hands began to get weak, and I began to just laugh, and I began to just be filled with joy. And then I would weep, and then I would have more joy. And I've never been the same since. I have never. It was a game changer, I tell you. Because, you know, you can move a car in your own strength. But it's hard, isn't it? But when the engine gets going and it gets filled with gasoline and it's empowered, that car can go 100 miles an hour. And that's how I can relate to the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that there is a difference between having information and revelation by the Holy Spirit. You know, there are people who read the Bible, and I always wondered in my past why people that seem to have such great Bible knowledge can't seem to really live for God, because they need the Holy Spirit to help them. He is called the helper. He is our teacher. He is our helper. He is our comforter. You need the Holy Spirit. Can I say that? Nobody's going to throw tomatoes. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the baptism. And Philippians 4:13 says something interesting. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things. It says through Christ. I need Christ in my life, the Holy Spirit, to do the things I need to do. And, you know, I can do all things doesn't mean I will, but I do have the authority to do these things. And so what are these things? And Matthew 10:7-8 says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. But in the Greek, that word near also means the kingdom of heaven has come here. It has come near, it has come here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have given, freely receive. We've been given so much, people. We've been given the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit. We have been healed. We have been blessed. And so we need to take that to others. But we can't have a phony religion. Do you know that so many people are not who they say they are? Do you know so many people are living secret lives? They're not even who they say they are at all. I don't want that to be me, Ken. Not at all. I want to be exactly whom I claim to be. And if I, it means I must discipline myself to be obedient to God, or I have no business discipling or disciplining other people, if I can't, there has to be evidence in my life that I am who I say that I am who I claim to be. And we need to stop. John says in the book of John, it's 1 John, it says, and his commandments are not burdensome. Do you know, can I tell you that it is not hard to serve the Lord? It is hard not to serve the Lord, because when you tell one lie, you have to tell another and another, and you have to cover it. But it is not burdensome. I don't find it hard, Pastor Ken. I don't find it hard to serve God at all. Stop saying it's hard to love your neighbor. It's hard to make it to church. It's hard to tithe. The word says my commandments are not burdensome. And can I tell you one more thing as I turn this over to my brother who's going to share with you? There has never been a time in our history when we needed Christ in our world more than right now. And the power of the Holy Spirit. We are living not in the last days. We are living in the last of the last days. And the devil knows that his time is short. And we need to know that our time to work is short. So let's do this. We have authority.
So, wow, there's just so much to unpack here. And I definitely, Pam, through the worship and everything, I wish we could all see into the Spirit. I wish we could see what happens when we praise. I wish we could see what happens when we pray, the things that happen. You know, you started off by saying that when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you thought nothing had happened. It kind of reminds me of if you go out today and eat steak and shrimp, right, and you eat all this great food, and then you go, well, I ate this food, but nothing happened. Lots happened. Your body has absorbed that, and it is working in you, and it's going to all parts of your body. If you eat an orange, it's going to your toes, right? All that vitamin, it's going to get spread out through your body. When you feed on the Word of God, when you worship, when you hear the Word, you may not even know what's happening on the inside. But that's what we need to understand, is that we are not just living as natural beings. We're not just living out of our five senses. There's something more happening. And when you say to the Holy Spirit and to God, and remember, this was Jesus' plan. I have to go away. I have to go away. I have to send the Comforter. That's, the Holy Spirit's going to be the moving force. When you ask the Holy Spirit, this is beautiful. When you ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life, the Holy Spirit is going to move in your life. And so something more is happening than maybe what you see. There is a river of life that flows out of heaven, that if God is moving in and through you, that river is moving in and through you, just as your blood is circulating, and there's something circulating out of heaven to you. Now, I want to say something about our authority. We do have authority over the enemy. We do need to pay attention to the enemy. The enemy is very dangerous. He doesn't just want to hurt you. He wants to kill you. But if I had to fight the devil, or I had another up, there's another opponent that gives me a lot more trouble than the devil. Oh my goodness. I can fight the devil. Jesus paralyzed him. Right? We have the name of Jesus. If you say no to the devil, the only time the devil wins is when we agree with him. Right? But the only thing that works on the devil is his mouth. He is paralyzed. So he can lie to you. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. So he can convince, but he has to convince you. Just as Pam was talking about intruders into your home, you have to let them in. Or if they come in, you got to throw them out. But the devil is not really my problem. Frida knows what my problem is. It's not Ken versus the devil that's the problem. It's when Ken has to fight my flesh and myself and my own desires. You know, Paul says, I'm doing things I don't want to do. What's going on? That's not being led by the Spirit. But I want to say this as we talk about authority, because it's such an exciting subject. Some of my favorite messages I've ever heard, you know, Brother Hagin speaking on our authority. And I remember Norval Hayes speaking on casting out demons and how powerful it was. And so many messages I've heard on authority over the enemy and watching the enemy run and watching the enemy flee. But so I want to say this as a foundation, as exciting as that is. In order for us to have authority, the sentence almost finishes itself, doesn't it? You finish the sentence. In order for you to have authority, you must be under authority. And wasn't that so beautiful that the man said to Jesus, I'm a man. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to lay hands on someone. You don't have to do anything special. You're Jesus. If you just speak the word from here, that's it. And he said, I am also a man under authority. I have people under me. And when I say it, it happens. And Jesus, you have everything under you. When you say it, you're the master. Because you know what? People can't walk on water. The laws of physics prohibit it. Jesus just broke the laws of physics. How? Wait a minute. How can you break a law, Jesus? Because I wrote the law. I'm the author of the law. The law obeys me. I don't obey the law. That's the authority of the believer. All authority is given unto me, Jesus said. And then what did he do with that authority? He gave it to the church and he sent us out to speak the word. So that was the first foundation, is you have to be under authority. The second one is just as important. To use authority, faith works by love. That's it. Faith works by love. The disciples, when they start hearing about authority, watch how they missed it. Watch how they missed it. Hey, Jesus, do you want us to use this authority and call lightning down from heaven to hit those folks? Can you see that they missed? And can you imagine if you had all authority as you're driving home and someone cut you off? They'd be having flat tires and, you know, I use my authority here. Your authority is over yourself. It's over sin. It's over Satan. You have the authority to minister. You have the ability to minister. You have the authority to use the name of Jesus. You are free to worship. You are free to witness. You are free to speak forgiveness. Did you know the Bible says, and I didn't say this or I wouldn't say it, that whoever you forgive on earth is forgiven in heaven? That's a whole teaching in and of itself. You have authority to forgive people that you say, I'm not going to forgive them. You have the authority to say, I want them forgiven. Jesus said, I want these people forgiven. They don't know what they're doing. That's true love, not using authority. Too often we see Christians, and watch this. We see Christians that want to use their authority for judgmental purposes. And here's the problem. The throne of judgment is a throne. If you're judging, you're sitting on God's throne. You have to remove God and say, I want to sit here. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, right off the bat, if you're throwing God off his throne, you're acting awful Satan-like, right? Why can't I do that? The second thing is, if you find yourself sitting on the throne of judgment and administering judgment, the Bible is clear. You can do that, but however you're judging is how you're going to be judged. So here's the deal I have with God, and you could have the same deal. It's a really good deal. I will be a minister of grace and mercy. Everywhere I go, I will minister grace and mercy. Now, if judgment is needed, that's God's job. God is the God of judgment. I will let him do his job. I might even pray, God, maybe you should bring some judgment, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to minister grace and mercy all of the time. The authority that we have as a believer is not for when you're laying down in your bed. It's not for when you're in your house. It's not even for when you're in the church. It's for when you leave to go into the world. We're going into the world. Remember I told the church, I gave you all a homework assignment, which I'm going to give you again, that you should, I said buy a McDonald's certificate, but that's just, I don't care if you buy a Target card. I'm not pushing McDonald's. But if you could keep a McDonald's certificate or two, you won't keep it long in your wallet or your purse. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to someone that needs it. And I want to say this about the person you're going to give it to. They don't deserve a McDonald's meal. If you knew what they've been doing and how they've been living and how many jobs they turned down, that's what grace is. It's giving things that are not deserved. If they deserve it, it's not grace and mercy. It's what they're owed. Grace and mercy is when people have been beat down and... Here's A. I'm going to give this to Pam, but choice A or B. Grace and mercy is A, when people have been beat down and you tell them how awful sinners they are, or B, when you are a minister of reconciliation and you give them, that's the authority, Pam. You have authority to forgive. You have the authority to speak love, not hate. Don't ever join up in the ministry of hate or judgment. If you have a group of people say, we're going to go march on this church, we're going to bring judgment, let God do that. You be the minister of grace and mercy.
That is the truth, amen. You know, I read a thing yesterday, and it was very, very powerful. It was a meme that said, Jesus didn't come to the well for the water. He came for me. What a difference. And that should be our heart to minister grace and mercy. And it was a sacrifice for Jesus to love you and I. It took him all the way to the cross. It cost him everything, lots of pain. And at any time he could have turned around, he could have called angels, but he didn't. So what I would say to all of us today is love will always require a sacrifice. If you get married, it requires a sacrifice, the laying down of your rights. If you have children, it requires a sacrifice. You're going to spend some nights up. You're going to be involved in some messy business if you choose to love other people in the way that Christ loved them. You're going to be like a Debbie Ramos who, as we said at the funeral, every step Pastor Gil took after that accident, Debbie took. Every step he took, she took with him. It just is that way. We'd like to think that love is all Valentines and roses and chocolate candy. It's not. It requires pushing wheelchairs. It requires adult diapers, all kinds of things that you may not have thought of. It's always a risk, but may I tell you something? It's well worth the risk. When you choose to love and be the hands, you are representing the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ and the feet of Jesus Christ. But yes, we have to be proactive in our love, and that's what's going to cause miracles to take place in our life. And we need to recognize what the blessing God has given us and the authority we have. You know, I can't help but going back to the story of the man in New York City who died homeless on the streets, but at a bank, two blocks from where they found his body, he had over $50,000 in the bank that he had forgotten. Have we as God's people forgotten the blessing of the Lord? Have we have forgotten God who gave the blessing of the Lord to us? We need to understand the authority we have, the blessing we have. The word of God is medicine to us. It is medicine to us. And Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you all power, all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. In Hosea 4:6, it says this that is very interesting. My people, this is not to the world. This is my people, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, that isn't head knowledge. That is for a lack of knowing Jesus. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. How many of us know that? I pray that I never forget, because I'm a teacher of God's word. Every Monday night, I'm here teaching. And let me tell you, to have head knowledge or intellect without the wisdom of God and without a relationship with God will destroy you. You will implode. It will destroy you. We need to understand that the devil has no choice but to submit to Christ in you. But I want to tell you something. Not everyone has that kind of authority. Let me remind you of a story in the Bible where there were seven sons of Sceva, and they decided that they were going to try to cast out some demons. You don't try to cast out demons, by the way. You better know you have the authority or you don't have the authority. And let me tell you what happened. They beat them up and they ran away naked. They were not true disciples of Christ. They were not who they say they are. And we can't be that way. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit or we don't have that kind of authority. You know, a police officer is authorized and he can, by the holding up of one hand, stop a semi-truck. That truck is tons and tons. The truck my husband drives, you can't stop that with just one hand. Unless you're a police officer, you are authorized to do so. So may I ask you something? What do you think Who do you think we could stop if our hands were lifted in praise to God? If our hands were lifted in praise to God, we could stop the enemy from advancing against us because we are authorized to do so and say, you know what, Satan, you must get the hell, your hell, out of my life. That's the only time you can say that. You can't tell somebody else, get the hell out of my life. But you can tell Satan, you take your hell and you go back where you came from. But we have to recognize our authority. And Ephesians says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why do we need the reminder? We do need the reminder that we have been authorized. Remember the story I told you? I'm going to tell it one more time. Her name was Marion Chadwick, I believe, if you want to Google it and look it up. She owned the jewelry store. Remember that story? She owned the jewelry store. You can see the video of her casting the man out of her store. Here's this man with a gun. I'm telling you, he had a gun in her face. Give me all the stuff. Give it to me. And she says, in the name of Jesus, get out of my store. She comes around the counter. You see her and like, whoa, a gun. He's got a gun on her. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. If she got shot, she would have went to heaven. She didn't. That man probably thought, did I just step into a church service? Is there a revival here in the jewelry store? And believe me, he backed out of that store. He ran. Why did he run? Because, Pastor Ken, the Bible says, resist the devil and he's going to run from you. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. I don't make the rules. If that wasn't in the word, I couldn't say he'll run from you. It didn't say he would walk away from me. If you resist the devil, he will walk away from you. He will go away from you. That's not what it said. It said he will flee. He will run. That means he will get moving fast out of your way. And that's what I'm talking about, authority. I like what Pastor Ken said. We're not authorized to slit people's tires. In the name of Jesus, I command that the fire of God fall on this person. I command that everything in their life fall apart. Because we're called to do the works that Jesus did, and that's not the works that Jesus did, is it? To hurt other people, but to heal the sick, raise the dead.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to get into this too much, just one sentence. You know, I keep hearing people saying Christians need to rise up and take up arms. That is not at all the message. The ministry of the church is the ministry of the Good Samaritan. It is to minister love. It is not to arm yourself with guns and swords and say we're going to rise up. Christianity has been used too much in the past for violence, and for that is not the Christianity that Christ preaches. It is a ministry of love, and believe me, we're going to win more people by giving out McDonald's certificates than we are with signs that say everyone's going to hell. Because really our authority has to be based in love. It has to be based in love. I like using examples and illustrations, and I was thinking about my days in the military. So when you go into the Air Force, there's so many analogies to Christianity, because when we become a Christian, all things become new. It's like overnight your life changes. And when you know, I went from living at home with my parents to all of a sudden I'm in a barracks, and, you know, everything changed. My socks changed. My undershirts changed. I mean, I got all new. Everything changed. My mother changed. The drill sergeant said, I'm your mother from, you know, so, you know. So when you're in the Air Force, your first 2 days, you can always tell people who are in their first 2 days in the Air Force, because when they're marching, when their flights are marching, they're still wearing civilian clothes, and so we say that those are rainbows, because it's rainbow of colors. People are wearing blue, green. It's like, well, they're marching together. They kind of look like they're in the military, but they don't look the same. So then they take us to we march as rainbows to this warehouse. And in this warehouse is just thousands of shirts and thousands of pants and thousands of socks, and it's just uniforms everywhere. And they say, go get your uniforms. And I'm thinking about the storehouses in heaven, the things that are available to you and I, that the provisions that God has made. And so, like Pam's saying, you forget you have money in your wallet, or you forget that you have money in the bank, and we don't use. So, in other words, we don't use our authority. We don't use, because when you use authority in the name of Jesus, you are writing a check. A check is called a demand instrument. And it even says on the check, pay to the order of. You're ordering something. I am ordering that you pay $20. And the provision in the storehouse is our authority. We're writing checks on heaven, but there's plenty of provision in heaven. So when you get your uniform, now everyone looks the same. We're beginning to look like the army that we should. Now I learn as they start teaching you about, because I knew nothing. I did not know my first day in the difference between a captain and a staff sergeant. I would not have known. I don't know. I just don't know the difference. I knew nothing. They begin to teach you about authority. Now, the non-commissioned officers, when I started, I had no stripes on my uniform. I didn't even know about the stripes. They had to teach me about the stripes. Someone has one stripe, they're an airman. If they have two stripes, they're a senior airman. And it's changed a little since then. Three stripes and you're a sergeant. Four stripes and you're a staff sergeant. Five stripes and you're a tech sergeant. Six stripes and you're a master sergeant. Pam, where's this going? 40 stripes. You learn about the stripes. And you learn that who has the most stripes has the most authority. And then you learn about the one with 40 stripes. And the most stripes is called the master. It is in the Air Force. It's the master sergeant. You can't get higher than the master sergeant until you get over to the officers, where you have the captain, and Jesus is the captain. And you also have generals that are brigadier generals. Help me out here, Willie. Major general, lieutenant general, and then just four-star, I'm in charge of everything. Amen. Every knee bows down to the name of Jesus Christ. When you then get to the point where you know all about the stripes and you know all about authority, then when you get ready to graduate, they give you orders. Here's your orders. There's permanent orders and there's temporary orders, but I like on our military papers, there's a paper with your name on it, with your character of discharge. And one of the things it says is your permanent address. Permanent address. On mine it says 777 Moses Lane. Because I've got a new address. I've got a permanent change of station. Now, my job now, in addition to being a pastor, I work with veterans. And one of my jobs is to, when I have the opportunity, is to speak to a room full of veterans, just like this room. But they're all military veterans, just like you're all in Jesus' army. And my job there is to explain to people who have no idea what the benefits are. You'd be surprised how many people have no idea what their benefits are as military. So I begin with, did you know there's health benefits? And they're like, what? Did you know that there's medical care? What? They didn't know it, or they didn't think they were qualified, or they thought for some reason they were excluded. I thought because I wasn't in the war, I was excluded. I thought I made too much money, whatever. They don't realize that they have medical benefits. And the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. What does he do? He heals your diseases, and what else does he do? He forgives your sins. And then after I talk about the burial benefits, I talk about provision, and I talk about pension, and I even talk about burial benefits. And guess what? That's where it ends. Because it ends there. I don't say, now I'm going to talk about resurrection benefits. But in this church, I can say we're going to talk about the burial benefits, but I also want to talk about the resurrection benefits. Oh, those are the good ones. Those are the really good benefits. All right, I'll pass this over to Pam.
You know, that reminds me, we have friends who live in Minocqua. Some of you know Les and Rich. And one day, Leslie was working at the restaurant. She was a waitress. And a person like Pastor Ken, who was in charge of benefits, came up to talk to her, just casual conversation. And in the conversation, she asked him what he was doing in town. And he said, I'm meeting with military people to tell them what their benefits are. And during the course of that conversation, it came to light that Rich was a veteran, and he had been in a place where there was Agent Orange. And because of that, he told her immediately, well, is your husband getting the benefits from being in a place where there was Agent Orange? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. That's all foreign to me. And he gave her some papers to fill out, which Rich filled out. And because of being there, he gets now, every month, $3,000 and some, I think it's $200 a month he started getting almost immediately, and back pay. We do need to know what our benefits are in the kingdom. We absolutely do. And to take our authority, and, you know, when you were talking about the military and you were talking about the discharge papers, all I could think was Pastor Gill, honorable discharge. Honorable discharge, that's what you want. At the end of life, you want that honorable discharge where you've run your race, you've fought your fight, and you go home to receive the crown and to receive the high honors. You know, so many people, you know, I know because I know a little bit about Pastor Ken's work here, is that when you were in different, you can correct me if I'm wrong, different types of battles, and like Dad, our mother, by the way, did not know what benefits that she was entitled to as a survivor. She had no idea. And Ken called me up and he said, would you want to talk to Mom about that? And I go, the answer would be yes. Yeah, I think if she's entitled to something, she should receive that, don't you? Do you think that if you're entitled to a benefit in the kingdom that you should receive it? Because I think you should. I think you should be living in the blessing of the Lord. I really do. And, you know, when the disciples, here's the thing about authority. And we're going to be winding down. But the disciples, do you realize that up until the time that Jesus left this earth, they didn't do a lot? I know you kind of don't want to hear that maybe, but they didn't do very much. They followed Jesus around. They heard the same teachings that everybody else heard. They sat in the same pews everyone else on the countryside that everyone else was. And they were followers of Christ. But the word disciple means learner. They were learning a few things. But let me tell you when things got going. When Jesus said, it's good that I go away because I'm going to send someone who's like me. And he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, in Isaiah, we read where Jesus was supposed to come and die and be raised from the dead, the prophecy, and it all came to pass, right? And that Jesus ascended back in heaven. Well, I read in my Bible where the Holy Spirit came. Can I tell you something? There's no place where he left. He's not leaving until we leave. He's here right now, alive in you. He's in this building. He comes by invitation, and he works in us. And I had an experience where I was in Home Depot, and this lady walked up with a shirt that said, there is power in the name of Jesus. Well, I can't let that go by. I couldn't let her pass me by. I said, hallelujah, there is power in the name of Jesus. And we started talking and just talking. So I was supposed to meet with this man, this is a couple years ago, to order some blinds. So as soon as I sat down, he goes, you said that like you really believe there's power in the name of Jesus. And I said, I really believe there's power in the name of Jesus. And he began to tell me what's wrong in his life. And I said, oh, and we can pray about that, like right now. You know, either you believe it or you don't. And if without the Holy Spirit, you know, I used to be ashamed. Like I said, and Tony Pazina's heard me say this many times, I used to be ashamed. You know my story. You guys know my story. My dad used to say, invite my friends to church. And I'm like, I don't know what you think is going to happen here, but my friends ain't coming to this church where we're yelling and shouting hallelujah all over the place. I am a little better than that, Dad. And let me tell you, now with the power of the Holy Spirit, I ain't ashamed of nothing. And any of my friends can come to this church, and I want them to come because I want them to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know so many places don't, because, and here's the thing, Satan has no authority in your life. He's a trespasser. He has no right to rule and reign over you. Jesus is our commander in chief. And here's the thing, if we have power over the enemy, if I drink any deadly thing, it won't harm me. I want that kind of power in my life. And if I pick up snakes and they bite me, it won't kill me. Let me tell you, how do I know this? Because I remember a man named Paul on the island of Malta. And I remember how a deadly viper clung to him and grabbed him and bit him. And they waited for him to die. You're going to die? You're going to die, Ken? You're going to die? You picked up the snake? You picked up the snake. Are you going to die? It bit you. Are you going to die? No. No. Because the life of Christ is living in me. His blood flows in my veins. I believe in the power of God.
So once you get bit by the snake, everybody's watching you.
That's right.
Everyone's watching to see how you react. So your children, everyone around you, are we going to act in fear? Are we going to act in faith? And as Debbie has said so often, we are eternal beings. That's, you know, you meditate on that while you meditate on the size of the universe. That we're eternal beings. Wherever you go, when you leave this place, you are on assignment. You represent the kingdom of God. Wherever I went in my military uniform, I represented the United States military wherever I went. I like your thought about Brother Gill, but I'll tell you this about Brother Gill. He now has new orders. It doesn't end when we die. It begins. Eternity has begun. I met a pastor who told me that he said, I had a dream about your father, and he said, your father was in heaven. He said, but your father was leading a crew, said he was in charge. He was a supervisor in heaven. And that just made sense to me, that in heaven we're going to have jobs, we're going to have responsibility. And certainly it made sense to me that Dad would be a supervisor. The seeds that you plant in love and in hate, but let's forget about those. Let's nullify those. The seeds that you plant in love, you cannot predict where they're going to come up. The smallest seed can grow the biggest tree. Isn't that right? I remember someone came to the church, and they had a Bible, a New Testament, that 40 or 50 years ago that our church decided to print some New Testaments. Remember, some of you may even have an old one. Had Dad's picture on it, said Christian Fellowship Church. That Bible made its way to a foreign country and somehow made it back to this church after 40 years. That one seed. The thing, the kindnesses that you, the thing, the prayers that you pray to people, you have no idea that a seed could multiply. You may have witnessed to one person, and there's a whole apple orchard now with thousands of trees. I'm just going to be a couple more minutes, and then we'll start getting ready to dismiss. But I want to talk about that power of multiplication, the power of the Word of God. The seed of God is eternal. That you plant in your heart, it begins to work, it begins to move, it begins to grow. And if you walk in the light and you're worshiping in the light, those seeds of the Word of God are going to begin to prosper, are going to begin to grow. They're going to begin to bring life to you. I'm just so fascinated that a seed can grow a watermelon. It's all in the seed. The DNA is in the seed. Dave Garrett shared a story with me that he was going to be spending an Easter in Mexico with his family, and he didn't have a church to go to. So the Lord put it on his heart to have an Easter service in Mexico, and so he began to make flyers. They made dozens, if not hundreds, of flyers at Easter service in the hotel. They passed them out, and him and his family, and they had no idea what to expect. You know, could God do a miracle and hundreds of people show up? So the Easter morning came, and there was his family and one person. One person. So they were very disappointed. that because they had handed out all these flyers, and they really had this vision that this service would just change the world somehow. So he went ahead and pressed on. They had the service with his family there and the one guy. And then he thought to himself, well, if God told me to do this, then maybe this one man is going to be saved, and he's going to end up being Billy Graham, and who knows. So he gave an altar call, you know, saying, is there anyone here that would like to accept Jesus in their heart? And he just knew that this guy was going to come forward. Otherwise, why would God have set that up? No one came forward. The guy did not say that he wanted to be saved. And so, hey, you know what? God hasn't called us to success, just faithfulness, right? I say that quite a bit. God hasn't called you to be successful the way the world sees it. He's called you to be faithful. So that was a bust. He told me 20 years later, he was in Mexico, hundreds of miles from that spot. So it was something. This may not be the exact thing, but let's say he did the hotel in Mexico City, and now he's in Monterrey. So he's like way away from even where he did the Easter thing. So he's back in Mexico for something else 20 years later, and he hears someone say, Dave, Dave. Now he's in Mexico. No one knows him, especially people yelling in English, Dave, Dave. And here's a man. The man said, do you remember me? You know where this is going. This is the power, though. The man, it was the man that was there. And Dave said to him, have you ever become a Christian? And the man said, your message has been with me for 20 years. He said, would you pray with me? He was looking for Dave for 20 years. He became a Christian, and who knows where that seed goes. One more story. This I saw on YouTube 3 days ago. This guy is just, he's just dressed in regular street clothes. And he's about 30 or 40 feet away from a giant hornet's nest. And he said, that is the most aggressive hornets on the planet. He said, extremely dangerous. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there and destroy that nest. And he said, but first, I'm a beekeeper. He said, and he put on this outer space outfit. He had gloves. He had tape. And he went over there and started peeling this hornet's nest apart. And these hornets were all over him. And he was just like, now as you can see, the way they do this. And he goes, oh, they're mad right now. They are so mad. He goes, but guess what? He goes, I am completely 100% safe because I've put on my armor. I've put on my armor. Don't worry about Satan. If you have the authority of the believer, you have the name of Jesus, you are free to minister. And it really should be Satan that's afraid of us destroying him. So I'll leave this to Pam. We're going to pray. You know what? Oh, play? I'm going to play, but she's going to pray. And what I want her to pray and for you to pray, what good is having a $100 bill stuck in your wallet that you forgot about if you never use it? What good is having a warehouse full of uniforms and stripes if you never put them on? We have authority. We can use that authority. So, Pam, we need to pray over families and take authority over every single thing. And you need to take authority over the enemy in your own life. So I'm going to...
You know, that's so interesting that he should tell that story about Dave Garrett, because I just told that story to Willie about 1 hour ago in the vestibule. It's like, isn't that interesting how God works? There's so much that connects, you know, the things we do in life, we really don't do them in vain. And I just want to share on a little side note how glad I am to have visitors here this morning. Pastor Rick Swanson and his beautiful wife are with us this morning. And I just honor them. I honor the ministry that he has done. And how he came to be here is many years ago, we were in a restaurant and I walked over and gave him a postcard of this church, and he's here today with his beautiful wife. So, you know what we do, God connects people, doesn't he, and blesses people. So let's stand. We are going to pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we just stand before you a blessed people, a thankful people. You are a faithful God even when we were not faithful. Through all of our days up until this day, you've been with us every step we have taken. Just like Debbie walked with Pastor Gill, you have walked with us, Father God. We have had a limp, Father God, but you have walked with us. You have kept us strong and poured out undeserved blessings from heaven upon us. Today we ask you, Lord, to help us to bring in the end time harvest by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father God, we repent of disobedience in our life to your commands. We ask that you forgive us and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the cries of the hurting and the sick and the broken, Father God. Father, the people of this world that are lost and dying, Father God, help us to help them. Keep us strong. Keep us steadfast. Lord, we confess that we need your help every second of every single day. We can do nothing of ourselves, but all things through you who strengthens us. Lord, we thank you. We cry out to you, Father God. Anoint our lips. Fill our hearts with heaven's holy fire, Lord. We ask you for opportunities to preach the good news of the gospel. May we fulfill the great commission, Lord, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, Lord. May we live as we say. Father, may we be who we claim to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us be faithful, Lord. Faithful when you return. Find us working in the vineyards in your kingdom, Father God. And take us home, Lord, to be with you. Lord, we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would fall on everyone, Father God. Lord, if there's any sin in our life, we confess it to you, Father God, and we ask that you forgive us, Father God. Lord, use us in your kingdom, Lord. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, Father God, anoint them, Father God. Opportunities send us to the exact place we need to be. Father God, let us be obedient even when we think it's foolish, Father God. So obedient to you, Lord. We thank you for your obedience to the cross, Father God. Jesus, we thank you for the blood you shed and all you provided in Jesus' name. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. You are worthy of our worship, Lord. Father God, send us revival. Father God, revive us in our hearts, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we do praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.